This is done by it, isn't it? Oh, it's pretty all right.
Take a series of photos. I was doing
that. That's okay.
And you can email these to selected media. But why won't I take a picture? Take a photo.
Oh, dear.
I did it before by accident.
You're like me. You do more things by accident than you most people do on purpose.
That's funny. See, this is when I took my mistake. Oh, there.
How'd you do that?
I don't know. I'm trying to do it for you.
See how pretty your hair is? Did you notice? How pretty your hair is.
There you are. I mean, I just learned too many things, you know. She tried to teach me so much. And let's get that. You want to watch? I'll show you what all you can watch. Warning. You must stop recording before trying to close. Cyberlink. Gee, but I don't know what I'm recording. Shucks.
Maybe you just recorded us. You have lines in your forehead too.
Mm-hmm. I don't know how to do this.
Well, you do whatever you do fine. Mm-hmm. You learn. Yeah, take time. What did I do with mine?
I don't know what to do.
Have you ever felt that way? I just don't know what to do. 3 weeks ago, I became a grandparent. That's a scary thing. I don't know if you've ever thought about it, but that's a legacy. Many of you have experienced this already, and I'm still at the very beginning stages of it. But you know what I get to do as a grandparent? I get to do this. I get to show you this picture. How many people get to show a 10x10 slide picture to 1,000 people of their grandchild? Not many do. This is a legacy. This is something that we should be proud of, something that is a very powerful thing. And I don't know if you've really thought about what that exactly... Wait, let's go back to that picture again. Just say, can we just look at that for a second? Come on. I remember 3 weeks ago being in a hospital waiting room all day, waiting and waiting for this little boy to come around. And when you're sitting in a hospital waiting room, you do a lot of weird things, I'll say that. You know, we were playing paper football and, you know, all kinds of things, trying to kind of just pass the time. And then he came. And the anticipation and the reality begins to set in. And you think, I'm a grandpa. I'm not old enough to be a grandpa. And then you begin to think about the legacy. Okay, we can go to the next slide now. Thanks. Legacy. What will yours be? I don't know if you thought about that. This lesson is not for grandparents. You'll find that out. But one of these days, you will be, if you're not already, hopefully, you'll get to experience this grandparenting thing. Now, they didn't hand me a book 3 weeks ago when Knox was born that said, here's what you do from this point on. Luckily, we've got guys like Mark and others that will write books that will say, here's how you have a legacy. Well, today I want to share with you what I think from my vast knowledge of being a grandparent of 3 weeks about the idea of legacy. Because that's what we're talking about, really. If you think about legacy, let's define legacy a little bit. But before we do that, I just want to talk about how grandparents have been portrayed over the years. There's a lot of different ways that grandparents have been portrayed, if you think about it. And everybody here has a different version, because we have people of all different ages. But I want to talk about three different types of grandparents that have been portrayed in many ways over the years. The first one we're going to call a recliner grandparent. So I have an example up here, and I was beginning to think, you know, wouldn't it be nice just to sit and preach like this? Wow, I kind of like this. This is the recliner grandparent. Now, if I was to describe the recliner grandparent, I'd say they're kind of hard to get moving. They're comfortable. They like being in this place right here because it is comfortable. They have an attitude of, well, you know, I've done my time. Now I need everybody to come to me. They've been portrayed this way over the years. I'm not saying it's right. I'm just saying it's kind of been that way. They only get involved if they're usually pushed by their spouse or if they're interested in something. Like if it's a sports event or something they really like and they're interested in that, they'll do that. I think one of the best examples of a recliner grandparent would be this guy. Some of you know who that guy is. It was funny, I asked my intern yesterday, I said, do you know who Archie Bunker is? And he said, no, who was that? By the way, did you know his chair is in the Smithsonian? Does that tell you how important that thing was to him to recline your grandparent? They tend to say things like, well, I've just done my time. I like my spot. I like where I'm at. I'm just going to stay there. That's the recliner grandparent. On the other hand, there's another grandparent I call the rocking chair grandparent. And this is pretty comfortable. It's not as comfortable as that. But, you know, they'll move when it's convenient and it's comfortable for them. And, you know, and you kind of get a rocking start so it's not as hard to get up out of the chair. They have an attitude of, well, I'll do it in my own time. I'll get to it one of these days. I'll be there some point, and I'll do it in my own time. And they're involved in a few select things. But they're involved. But it's kind of just a few things here and there. The best representative of this was who I think would be this person. Some of you will remember Mama's Family from the Carol Burnett Show. See, I'm trying to, some of the younger people go, we don't know any of these people, you know. But just take my word for it. These were pretty funny people, you know. This was kind of the way the rocking chair grandparents represented. There's a third type, and this one kind of fits in. And I'm not going to tell you who gave me this pair of roller skates, Kim Hancock, but I understand that she used these at one point when she was... No, she's probably not old enough, really. Some of you will remember these. Now, some of you young people will realize that there's four wheels and they're kind of in different... They're not all in one line, and so this is what roller skates used to look like. I was telling Mark, I actually remember cutting a pair of these up and making a skateboard with my dad, actually. My dad helped out. I think he actually did it before I did. Roller skate grandparents. They're in a continual state of motion. In other words, they're always moving. They've always got something going on. Their attitude is, well, we just don't have enough time. We've got to be there. We've got to spend time. We don't have enough time. They're involved in everything they can. Now, here's the caveat of this one. That includes things like social media and internet. Now, that freaks out some of your grandkids. Because if you get involved, now I hate to tell you this, but they're way past Facebook. They've left Facebook. They're already on to Instagram, and they're past Instagram probably now, right? But they're involved. They're in social media. They're involved in every way they can. They know how to text. I love when I see some of our more seasoned members. That's an appropriate way to say it, right? They pull out their smartphones, and they're texting. Texting their grandkids. Texting them scriptures. Doing everything they can to be involved in the lives of their kids. That's the roller skating grandparent. Now, that's how things have been portrayed. Now, the best example I can think of, here's a modern day. Some of you will know some of these people. Everybody loves Raymond, right? Remember his parents? They got involved. In fact, I'll say sometimes they were too involved, let's just say. But they were involved. They were involved in the lives of their families. So again, we go back to this idea of legacy and thinking about what can we do to make sure that we're still involved in doing everything we can to develop what we're going to call legacy lifestyle. So in order for a legacy lifestyle to happen, certain things need to happen. What would those be? In order for a legacy lifestyle to happen, there has to be a legacy mindset all the way around. And when I say all the way around, it can't just depend on the grandparents, but it's got to depend on the whole family. It's got to have the parents involved. It's got to have the kids involved. And that's what I want to encourage you to do and think about. And as I was thinking about this lesson, I talked to a lot of people and I said, what would be the most appropriate way to kind of talk about a legacy lifestyle? And the legacy lifestyle has to involve the whole family. It can't just be the grandparents doing all the work. What I want to do today is I want to share with you some scriptures. But there's three things I want you to think about when it comes to this idea of legacy. Number one, this is about attitude, not ability. If you have health issues, if you have things that prohibit you from being able to do what you need to do as a grandparent, then we're not talking about that. We're talking about an attitude of legacy. And again, we're not just talking about it in the grandparents. We're talking about it all the way around. This is about attitude, not ability. Second thing is this. This is about family, not fitting in. I don't know how many times we try to fit into the world and it just doesn't seem natural or it doesn't feel right. And we still do everything we can to try to fit into the world and it's just not fitting. So we're going to talk about family and the importance of that. And then lastly, this is about legacy, not luxury. Now, we don't like to talk about this because we like luxury, right? We like being comfortable. We like being able to sit back and relax and just enjoy comfort. But this isn't about comfort. It's about legacy. And so what I want us to do is think about some things. So we're going to talk about attitude, not ability first. If you have your Bibles, turn to Philippians chapter 2 is where we're going to begin. It'll be up here on the screen. But what I want you to do is I want you to listen to this verse. And I want you to think about how does this verse fit in with my family? In fact, I'm going to tweak this verse just a little bit and add the words family to parts of this. So read this with me. Therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there's any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make your family complete. Make your family complete by being of the same mind, by maintaining the same love, being united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Wouldn't that be awesome if you could have all those things in your family? If you could say, as a family, we're going to do everything we can to be united in thought and purpose. How do we do that? Well, do nothing from selfish ambition or vain conceit, as it says in another version. But with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Don't merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Have this attitude in your family, which was also in Christ Jesus. We could just stop there, right? If we could all have the attitude Christ had. I can't do that, Jack. I'm sorry. That's tough. I mean, he was the Son of God, right? How could we do that in our families? Well, look at what this verse says. Let's see if we can figure this thing out together and decide, what are we going to do in our families to make this happen? Here's four things, I believe, that it says. Number one is there needs to be an attitude of respect. Now, that doesn't always happen, right? In our family, especially among our kids, we'll say, you guys need to just respect each other. Well, how do you teach that? I think we have to model that. And not just model it in our homes, but model it everywhere we go. If we're not people of respect, how do we expect our kids to be people of respect? I think the second thing is this. There needs to be an attitude of unselfishness. We need to look around in our own lives and say, have we been selfish people? Have we done what we can to model to our kids? Is this a legacy lifestyle of legacy building in our family? Are we unselfish people? Third thing, which is an obvious one, is there needs to be an attitude of love. 1 Corinthians 13 talks about that all through that chapter that says what love is. And the final thing it says is Love never fails. If we want to be able to succeed in our families, we have to have an attitude of love. And I think also one of the most important ones is we need to have an attitude of encouragement. We need to do everything we can to encourage each other. And if we are too busy in our lifestyles to not be able to encourage our kids especially, or to encourage our parents, either way, then we're too busy. And I don't know if you've noticed, but if you look at each one of those words, they spell the word rule. So why don't we make a rule in our families that we're going to have these things? Sometimes if we make it a rule, it makes it more permanent or something. I don't know. But we need to make it a rule in our families to be respectful of each other, to be unselfish, to love each other, and to encourage each other. Make that a rule in your family. Here's the second thing I believe we need. We're going to have a legacy lifestyle is we need to have a sense of family. The idea of family and not trying to fit into this world. If you have your Bibles, turn to Romans chapter 12. And those first two verses right there, I believe, are the ones that really talk a lot about this idea of the importance of not fitting into this world. Read with me if you would. Therefore, I urge you, brothers. In other words, don't miss this. This is important. I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your families. To offer your families as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. Now, I changed that up a little bit, just so you know. But what does it mean to offer our families as a living sacrifice? This is your true and proper worship. Don't conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and then you will be able to test and approve what God's will for your family is. Don't you want to know what God's will for your family is? Well, here's a way to do it. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Don't you want that in the life of your family? I want to know what God's will is for my family. How do I do that? Well, according to this verse, here's four ways real quick. Number one, if we want to know what God's will is, if we want to be a sacrificial family mindset, I believe one of the things we have to have is regular offerings of service. This whole verse was talking about being a sacrificial offering. So we've got to be regular offerings ourselves. Regular offerings of service. One of the things that you'll hear in our survey that was done recently is as families, we don't know how to do that very well. Or maybe we choose not to do that for some reason. Now, we do have a lot of families that are involved in service, but I think maybe part of the issue is I'm not sure we know how to do that. What does it mean to go on a service project as a family? Well, sometimes we have to look around and we have to see those opportunities because they come. It may not be a planned out event. It may be something that happens when you're not even expecting it. So regular offerings of service. Second thing is regular worship of God. Are you involved in regular worship? Not just at this building, but outside of this building. Do you spend time as a family and sharing devotional times? What does that tell your kids? How does that affect your kids? We find out that it does have a deep impact on our kids whenever we have those special times of worship together, just as a family. Third thing is this. There needs to be a regular renewal of our minds. And it doesn't just need to happen here, but it needs to happen on a regular basis because what do we fill our minds with? Is it Scripture? Is it singing? Is it God's Word? What are we filling our minds with? If you had to put a pie chart up and you had all the things that you fill your minds with, where would God fit into that? Well, I don't know about you, and I'm talking about me because I know I'm just kind of preaching to myself as much as I am you. I've got to change some things. I've got to renew my mind every day because I fill it with stuff that's just meaningless. So there has to be a regular renewal of our minds. And then lastly, there needs to be a regular watching for God's will in your life. You know, so many times we say in our prayers things like, God, show us what you want us to do. God, help us to know. tell us where we need to be, and then we don't watch for that. If we want to know what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will for our families, we've got to watch for it. Because God will answer that prayer. Here's the last thing. This is the one I don't like to talk about, but I guess I have to. Genesis 17. And that's the idea of legacy, not luxury. I like comfort. I like being comfortable. I'm sorry, that's just who I am. I like a recliner. I don't think, I'm not going to say you're not a real man if you don't have a recliner. But I'm going to say most men have recliners. That's just kind of part of being a man, right? It's part of being a grandparent. But we can't stay there. What we have to do is we have to think it's about legacy, not luxury. When God talked to Abraham, He said this, "I will establish my covenant with you. I will establish it with you as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your family after you for the generations to come." So He's saying your grandkids and their kids and their grandkids to be your God and the God of your family after you. Land of Canaan, where you now reside as a foreigner, I will give as an everlasting possession to you and your family after you, and I will be their God. Then God said to Abraham again, "As for you, you must keep my covenant. You and your family after you for the generations to come. This is my covenant with you and your family after you." Why did He say it so many times? Because if Abraham was like me, I needed reminding. We continually need to be reminded in some way that we have a covenant with God. And that's a legacy. So what does that mean exactly? Well, here's three things real quick. Number one, I think we have to know Him personally. You know, it's real easy to grow up in the church and know a lot about God. But do we know God personally? There's a lot of people I know a lot of things about, but I may not know them personally. And so as a family, as parents, as children, as grandparents, and great-grandparents, we've got to be sure that we know God personally. Secondly, we've got to know Him sacrificially. When you become a Christian, you make a commitment to say, "I'm going to sacrifice. I'm going to be a living sacrifice," like Romans 12 talked about. And I may have to give up some things that are tough, but I'm going to do it. So we have to know Him sacrificially. But then last, we've got to know Him loyally. We can't just stop there and say, "Okay, I did my thing." We've got to make sure that we continue in that life, that we're loyal to Him in everything that we do. And not just loyal, but we model that loyalty to the generations after us. So again, the question is legacy. What does that mean? The dictionary definition of legacy just basically means handed down to something, to somebody. What are you going to hand down to your kids? And what do you hope that your grandkids will see when they see you? Well, let me give you some faith at homework. Things that will help you from whatever perspective you're at. First of all, for grandparents. Here's some things just to write down and to be helpful for you to build that legacy. Number one, be creative in ways to connect to your grandkids. I love Robert Hall's stuff. We talked about that last night at the grandparenting deal. Robert Hall's stuff that he did when he sent to his kids, grandkids. Grandpa says. He would send a letter to them, and on the outside of the envelope it'd say, "Grandpa says." They'd fight over who got to read it first. We have a great legacy of people like that in our congregation that are doing amazing, creative things. So try to figure out as a grandparent, how can you be creative in getting to know your grandkids? Some of you feel like the earlier couple that we showed on the video about computers and about, you know, I don't understand all that and I'm not very good at that. Get your grandkids to show you how. Let them teach you. Secondly, be proactive. Make the first move towards your grandkids. We've already warned Joshua and Whitney and Janae that we're going to stalk our grandkids. We're going to do everything we can to be with them as much, as often as we can. And that's hard sometimes as a minister because you don't get weekends off like a lot of people. But we're going to do everything we can to follow them around wherever they're at and watch our grandkids. I love that we have the internet now because we're actually able to FaceTime and see our grandchild. Oh, yeah, and see our kids too. Use that technology. Be proactive in that. Here's another thing. Be adaptive. Rearrange your schedule to theirs. Now, that's kind of hard, I know, because, you know, as when you retire, you don't have a lot of time left over after playing golf and, you know, doing all the things that you do. So I can say that now because I'm not retired. But be adaptive. Try to rearrange your schedule to fit theirs. That will help. That will make a difference in the relationship that you have with them. And then lastly, be aggressive. This is going to sound weird, but I guess because I said that's what we're going to be. Don't give up on it. Don't give up in that relationship with your grandchild or with your kids, either one. Be aggressive about it. If you kind of get pushed away a little bit, and to be honest, we're pushing away a lot of grandparents in this generation. And I apologize for that. Be aggressive. Don't give up. Now I feel like I need to say a word to the parents. If you're going to develop a legacy mindset, parents, number one, be open to that. Be open to the legacy relationship. Try to your best to get over the things that your parents did to you. They may have hurt. Do your best to get over that. Be open to the importance of that relationship of the grandparent and the grandchild. Let them have that special relationship that's there. Second thing is this. Be honest in the legacy leadership. You will be leading your children. You may need to be honest about some things with your parents, grandparents. You may need to share and open up a little bit about some things so that you can get those things out in the open. You will lead your kids into this legacy relationship as parents. So be open in that and be honest in that legacy relationship. And then lastly, be giving in the legacy ownership. Let go of those kids some. Your parents raised you. And that may be why you're not willing to let go of your own kids, but be willing to be giving in the ownership of that legacy. Let the grandparents be a part of that, especially when it comes to faith formation. Now, let me say a word to the children, to the grandkids. And I don't know what age all the grandkids are in here, but grandkids, you have a unique opportunity in this relationship that we call grandparenting. Here's just a few things. Number one, treasure moments with your grandparents. Treasure those moments. There will come a time where you will look back and you'll go, I wish I had more time with them. Treasure the moments that you have while you do have them. Here's something very simple. Ask questions of your grandparents. They'll be glad to talk to you about those things. Ask questions about what life was like before cell phones. What was life like when you had to walk everywhere? Or, you know, whatever you want to talk about, ask them questions. They'll be glad to talk to you about it. Third thing is this. Share your stories with them. They want to hear those stories. They really do want to be involved in your life. And they want to hear those stories. So share your stories with them. Whether you have to send them by letter, by text, whatever. Share your stories with them. And then lastly, use your media to teach them. There's a few grandparents out there that are ready to learn. And they would love for you to teach them. So don't be afraid to do that. I'll share this last verse with you. This is from Hebrews chapter 6, verses 10 through 12. If you can develop this legacy mindset, I believe God will reward you for this. Listen to this verse, and I did tweak it just a little bit, but I don't think I'm taking it out of context. God is not unjust. He will not forget your work with your family and the love that you have shown Him as you have helped His people and continue to help them. So in other words, it doesn't stop, no matter what age you're at. We want each of you and your family to show this same diligence to the very end, so that what you hope for may be fully realized. We don't want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. Being a grandparent is an amazing thing. And I've only been one 3 weeks. And I've learned a few things in family ministry and all the things that we teach and all the things that we try to get across. And one of the things that I've learned from Mark is the idea of blessing. The idea of figuring out ways to bless your grandchildren, to bless your children. And I remember 3 weeks ago when we were sitting in that waiting room, and I had told Susan already ahead of time that we wanted to have a special time of prayer and blessing with Knox. And it got so late into the night that, you know, things got rushed and you know, Whitney was exhausted, Joshua was exhausted, and it got to the point where we were able to go into the room with them. And as I saw my son standing there holding little Knox, and he looked like little Knox at that point, I began to think, wow, this is a legacy. And what can I say and what can I do to just begin that process? And I remembered the blessing idea. And we had planned through this, and so we had gone through the process of passing him around and all that. And right before we were to leave, I walked up to Joshua and I said, "Can I give him a blessing?" And he said, "Yeah." And so I put my hand on his little furry head and I said, "May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you and give you peace. And may you give your parents peace over the next couple of weeks." Every time I see Knox from this point on before we leave, I'm going to continue that blessing. And that's just one simple way, I think, that we can, as grandparents, share a piece of our spirituality with our grandkids. You can start that at any point. It doesn't have to be at the beginning of a birth, but all we're seeing today is, what's your legacy going to be as a grandparent? Do your best to do what we've talked about. Share in the lives of your grandchildren. Parents, allow those grandparents to be a part. Children, love those grandparents. That's what they're there for. We have an opportunity every Sunday for people that maybe don't know anything about this Christianity thing. And you have an opportunity to find out what it means to be a Christian, and this whole idea of legacy may have hit you today. And maybe made you think, you know, I need to begin a spiritual legacy of my family. So we have an opportunity to do that today as we sing this next song. You can begin that legacy. And you can start something that will go from generations to generations. All you have to do is come down here and meet with one of our elders. We have an elder that will be down here. There will be some in the back. You can just share your life with them. And they'll tell you how you can begin that. Maybe you've been one of those grandparents or parents that has not allowed God to be a part of that. And you want to change that. We got a great group of people here at Hillcrest that will love on you and care for you and pray for you. So let us do whatever we can. Let's stand together and sing.